Mondo NBA Recap. Today is Friday, March 25th, and we had 5 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Toronto, the Raptors defeated the Cavaliers, 117-104. In Memphis, the Grizzlies demolished the Pacers, 133-103. In Milwaukee, the Bucks defeated the Wizards, 114-102. In New Orleans, the Pelicans beat the Bulls, 126-109. And finally, in Denver, the Suns beat the Nuggets, 140-130. So we'll break down all 5 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Toronto, where the Raptors defeated the Cavaliers, 117-104. The Raps were led by Pascal Siakam. He had 35 points, matching his season high. And they also got 14 points from OG Anunoby back into the starting lineup and 17 points and 8 rebounds off the bench from Chris Boucher. Whereas the Cavaliers were led by Lauri Markkanen. He had 20 points in the starting lineup, and they got 12 and 10 from Kevin Love, also in the starting lineup, and 18 and 10 from Darius Garland. But the Raptors were just in control of this game from the first quarter onwards. They outscored the Cavaliers 25-17 in that first quarter, and then they kept the pressure on in the second quarter, so it was a 10-point game at the half. It was 58-48, and then they basically maintained a double-digit lead throughout the majority of the second half. There was 1 point midway through the third quarter when the Cavs went on a little bit of a run, and they cut it to within 5, but that was as close as they would get. The Raptors would quickly reestablish a 10-point lead, and they pretty much cruised to an easy victory in the end in the fourth quarter. Well, it wasn't an easy victory, but they were never really troubled there in the fourth. And in terms of the stats, the Raptors were just a little bit better in every way. They shot 47% from the field, whereas the Cavs were 46%. They were 43% from 3, whereas Cleveland, 40%. So, not terrible shooting by any means from the Cavaliers, but then they had 13 turnovers, whereas the Raptors just had 9. And then the Raptors also slightly out-rebounded the Cavaliers as well. So, they kind of just had a slight edge in every way, and that helped them secure this victory in the end. And so, with this win, the Raptors now improved to 41-32. That is exactly tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers now in 6th. This was a pivotal game for the playoff standings, potentially the Raptors breaking into that top 6 and the Cavs falling out of the top 6 into the play-in game. It could very easily happen now down the stretch, as these teams are exactly tied at 41-32. The Raptors are 3 games up on the Brooklyn Nets in 8th, and then they're just 1 game behind the Chicago Bulls in 5th. So not only could the Raptors surpass the Cavaliers in 6th, but they could even surpass the Bulls in 5th at this point. They are 6-4 in their last 10, and they're plus 1.5 in the point differential. And as for the Cavaliers, obviously, they are also 41-32 now with this loss. And so they are really teetering there. Their plus 2.6 point differential has decreased significantly since earlier in the season when they had the best point differential in the conference. But they're on a 2-game losing streak now, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And based on the way these teams have been playing recently, I would certainly assume that the Raptors will end up taking either the Cavs spot or the Bulls spot or both. They could even end up all the way in the 5th seed. We shall see how that all unfolds. But anyways, a really much-needed victory here for the Raptors and a disappointing loss for the Cavaliers. And if this season ends with them in the play-in game and they potentially don't even make the playoffs, that would be such a disappointment because they were really a remarkable story for the majority of the season. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Cavs were led, as I mentioned, by Lauri Markkanen. He had 20 points in 36 minutes in the starting lineup. He was quite efficient, 6 of 10 from the field, including 2 3-pointers, and he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line, so really solid efficiency there for Markkanen. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then they also got double-doubles from Kevin Love and Darius Garland, both in the starting lineup. So first, the point guard Garland, he had 18 points and 10 assists in 38 minutes. He was 7 of 18 from the field, so not the most efficient game for Garland. He had 3 rebounds and 4 turnovers, and that was it. He was negative 17 in the plus-minus. So despite the double-double, not the best game for Garland. And then they also got a double-double from Kevin Love, 12 points and 10 rebounds in 33 minutes. He was a lot more efficient, 5 of 8 from the field, so lower volume for the veteran big man. He had 4 assists and 2 steals as well. And then they got 11 points from the rookie, Evan Mobley, but like Love, he was low volume, high efficiency, 5 of 7 from the field, but he was 1 of 3 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 blocks. And Isaac Okoro rounding out the starting lineup, he had 6 points and 4 assists in 27 minutes. And off the bench for the Cavaliers, they got 16 points from Lamar Stevens. He had been the starter for quite some time, but Kevin Love getting that starting spot in his stead. But Stevens stuffed the stat sheet off the bench in just 24 minutes. He had 16 points on 5 of 12 shooting. He had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. And then they also got 11 points from Caris LeVert. In 24 minutes, he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers. And 4 points for Jetty Osman. He was just 1 of 5 from the field. 6 points for Brandon Goodwin in just 2 minutes. And as for the Raptors, they were led, as I mentioned, by Pascal Siakam, matching his season high of 35 points in 32 minutes only. He was incredible in this game. 12 of 20 from the field, 6 of 7 from 3, and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Insane efficiency for Siakam, and he also had 5 rebounds and 6 assists. And then they also got 14 points from OG Anunoby. Good to see him back in the lineup for the Raptors. He was 4 of 11 from the field, and he had 4 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. 11 points for Scotty Barnes, the rookie. He was 4 of 9 from the field in 35 minutes. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So neither of the two frontrunners for Rookie of the Year, Scotty Barnes and Evan Mobley, did a whole lot in this game, at least in the box score. But Barnes and his team got the better of the Cavaliers. And as I've said before, it would definitely be a boon for Barnes' case to steal away that Rookie of the Year award if the Raptors were to surpass the Cavaliers in the conference standings. I know that typically doesn't come into play with Rookie of the Year, but we've had two really good rookies on really good teams in the Raps and the Cavs. And so, yeah, that would be a feather in Barnes's cap if the Raptors eventually surpass the Cavaliers, because that was one of the things about Evan Mobley's case that was so unimpeachable up to this point, was that he was a contributing player on a really good winning team. You typically don't get that with one of the top three picks, but we not only had that with Mobley, but we also had that with Barnes, and now his team has actually come on strong over the past couple of months, and they could very easily surpass the Cavaliers. So it'll be interesting to see it. I think it's probably still going to be Mobley's award to lose, just because he built up so much momentum at the beginning of the season, and I don't think voters will be able to overlook all that he did earlier in the year. But nonetheless, a really good campaign this year for both guys. And then as for the rest of the starters for the Raptors, they also got 10 points from Fred VanVleet. In 39 minutes, he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And he was also plus 15 in the plus-minus, which was a starter's high. And 4 points for Kim Birch. In 13 minutes, he had 2 rebounds. Off the bench for the Raptors, they got 17 points from Chris Boucher, the backup big man. He has really been outplaying Kim Birch recently off the bench. He played 33 minutes in this game, so more than double what Birch played in the starting lineup. Boucher was 6 of 12 from the field, and he had 2 three-pointers, 8 rebounds, 3 steals, and he was the team high, plus 19 in the plus-minus. And then they also got 10 points from Precious Achiuwa, the other backup big man. He was only 3 of 10 from the field, though. 8 points for Thaddeus Young. He was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal in 15 minutes only. And then 6 points for Armani Brooks in 19 minutes, and 2 for Delano Banton, the rookie. All right, moving along to Memphis, where the Grizzlies handily defeated the Indiana Pacers, 133-103. The Grizzlies were dominant in this game, and they were led by the sophomore Desmond Bane. Still without Ja Morant, Bane is leading the way for this team. He had 30 points on, and I sound like a broken record here, but an incredibly efficient 12 of 15 shooting. There's just some insane offense happening right now in the NBA. Seems like every game has some player going for like over 30 points on incredible efficiency, and that was definitely Bane in this case. He had 5 three-pointers, and then they also got 20 points from Jaren Jackson Jr., and 6 points and 17 rebounds from Steven Adams. Whereas the Pacers were led by Lance Stephenson, the veteran off the bench. In just 23 minutes, he had 25 points. And then they also got 14 points in the starting lineup from the big man Gogo Batadze, and 13 points from O'Shea Brissett. But the Pacers, unfortunately, just very shorthanded still. They were resting Malcolm Brogdon. Jalen Smith was out with an illness, so it's pretty much into the tank for the Pacers at this point, as they are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. TJ Warren also was officially ruled out for the rest of the season a couple of weeks ago, and then, of course, Miles Turner hasn't been seen for quite some time either. So really just sort of a forgotten lost season here for Indiana once again, and they were handily defeated in this game. It was literally a blowout from the jump. They never led in this game. The Grizzlies got out to a hot start and maintained a significant lead throughout the entire game. It was the first quarter where they were already up 44-23 heading into the second, and then they just expanded upon that lead in the second and third quarters. So by halftime, it was already a 26-point lead. The Grizz were up 74-48. And then you might think that they would let their foot off the gas pedal a little bit in the second half since it's such a blowout, but that was not the case at all. They actually outscored the Pacers by another 10 points in the third quarter. So it was a 36-point lead for the Grizz heading into the fourth quarter. And then they obviously just cruised to an easy victory in garbage time in the fourth quarter. So totally dominant stuff here once again for the Grizzlies without Ja Morant. It's like they actually play better without their best player. It's remarkable. Obviously, I don't think they're actually better without Ja Morant, but it is just so incredible what this team has been able to do this season, all the way up in second in the Western Conference. They have just been a revelation. They were obviously on fire in this game, 53% from the field and 50% from three, whereas the Pacers were not very good, 42% from the field, just 27% from beyond the arc. Now, the Grizzlies, to be fair, they had so many possessions as they out-rebounded the Pacers 55-31, but they did have a bunch of turnovers, 17 versus just 11 for the Pacers, but obviously that was not nearly enough to overcome the huge shooting disparity and the huge rebounding advantage as well. So another dominant win here for the Grizzlies. They now improve to 51-23, so that is good for second in the Western Conference. They obviously have secured a spot in the playoffs at this point. They are 9 games behind the Phoenix Suns in first, but they're now 2.5 games up on the Golden State Warriors in third. So the Grizz pretty confidently in the second seed there in the West. They are plus 5.7 in the point differential, which is still worse than the Warriors and the Jazz, but it's really close. They're on a 3-game winning streak, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pacers, this loss takes them to 25-49. So obviously still in 13th in the Eastern Conference, as they have been for months now. They are 4.5 games up on the Detroit Pistons in 14th, and they're 6 games behind the Washington Wizards in 12th. And as I said, they are officially eliminated from the playoffs at this point, so it is just into the tank for the Pacers as much as possible. They have 25 wins right now, which is actually 5th worst. There's only 4 teams below them that are lower down in terms of the win column. That is obviously the Pistons, Magic in the East, and the Thunder, Rockets in the West. So at this point, they're far enough ahead of those teams that they're probably not going to get into the top 4 of the draft. They're really just battling with the Kings and Trailblazers at this point in the Western Conference for those next 5, 6, and 7 spots in terms of the draft lottery. As I said, the Pacers are on 25 wins, the Kings are on 26 wins, and the Blazers are on 27. So we'll see some definite tankage down the stretch to see if any of those teams can jockey their way into the top 5 or top 6 of the draft lottery. Because now with the flattened odds, you've got a much better chance of jumping up, even if you are in the 5th or 6th seed. So we'll see how that all unfolds. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score for this game. And the Pacers were led, as I mentioned, by the veteran Lance Stephenson off the bench. He had 25 points in 23 minutes only. And once again, incredible efficiency. He was 10 of 15 from the field, 5 of 5 from beyond the arc. And he also had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. So this has really been an incredible season for Stephenson. He was obviously picked up off the waiver wire by the Pacers. And he's had a couple of incredible vintage performances for Indiana. As for the starters, they were led by Goga Batadze, the big man. He had 14 points. He was only 3 of 8 from the field, but he was 8 of 11 from the free throw line. And he had 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks, although he was negative 30 in the plus-minus. The team low in that regard was Tyrese Halliburton. He was negative 33 in 27 minutes. He had 9 points on 4 of 9 shooting, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal. They also got 11 points from Buddy Hield. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And then they got 13 points from O'Shea Brissett in 34 minutes. He was 5 of 14 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And 10 points for Justin Anderson, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 3 of 10 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. So despite this disappointing loss, and despite the otherwise unimpressive box scores for some of these starters, they all kind of stuffed the stat sheet a little bit in one way or another. They all had 1 steal, and then 4 of the 5 of the starters had 2 blocks. All right, so anyways, onto the bench for the Pacers. Besides Lance Stephenson, they also got 17 points from Terry Taylor. In 30 minutes, he was 7 of 11 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds. So it was really Taylor and Stephenson carrying the team, especially offensively, off the bench. And then they also just got 4 points from Dwayne Washington Jr. in 21 minutes. Kiefer Sykes saw the court for 17 minutes, but he was 0 of 5 from the field in that time. And as for the Grizzlies, they were led, of course, by Desmond Bane. He was incredible. 30 points in 24 minutes only. He was insanely efficient. 12 of 15 from the field. He was 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 block, and he was plus 40 in that time. Incredible disparity there. Plus 40 in 24 minutes. That is just insane stuff. And then they also got 20 points from Jaren Jackson Jr. He only played 17 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Incredible production on a per-minute basis from some of these guys. And then they also got 11 points from Tyus Jones, the point guard, starting in place of Ja Morant, of course. He was 4 of 5 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. 6 points for Steven Adams, but he really stuffed the stat sheet. 17 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. And then they also got 3 points from Zaire Williams, the rookie, although he was just 1 of 5 from the field. But off the bench for the Grizz, they got nice contributions from Xavier Tillman, John Conchar, and De'Anthony Melton. Obviously, the entire bench saw extended run due to all the garbage time at the end of this game. So they got 19 from De'Anthony Melton in 21 minutes. He was 6 of 13 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. 18 points for John Conchar, once again on fire, 7 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. And then Xavier Tillman, the backup big man, the sophomore, he was 6 of 9 from the field in 24 minutes, and he had 5 rebounds. And then they also got 8 points from slow-mo Kyle Anderson. He had 4 rebounds and 4 assists. And 2 points for Jarrett Culver. He was 1 of 4 from the field. Santi Aldama was the only player on the roster for the Grizzlies to not score. He was 0 of 3 from the field in 18 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to Milwaukee, where the Bucks handily defeated the Washington Wizards 114-102. The Bucks were playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo, without Chris Middleton, but it did not matter. They were led by Drew Holiday. He had 24 points and 10 assists in 33 minutes. He was 10 of 18 from the field. And then they also got 21 from Grayson Allen, and they got 16 points off the bench from Pat Connaughton. Whereas the Wizards were led by Ish Smith, the backup point guard off the bench. He had 17 points, and then they also got 16 from a couple of guys in the starting lineup, Kristaps Porzingis and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But unfortunately for the Wizards, they were just completely dominated in this game. Despite the Bucks being without two of their big three in Middleton and Antetokounmpo, they were still just dominant. They outscored the Wizards 32-13 in the first quarter, a putrid first quarter of basketball for Washington. And then they just basically maintained that double-digit lead throughout the rest of the game. It wasn't until the very end of the fourth quarter when the Wizards kind of made a little bit of headway. They got the lead all the way down to within double digits after a three-pointer from Ish Smith with 2 minutes to go in the fourth. It was an 8-point game. It was 109-101 at that point. But it was basically garbage time at that point. The Bucks weren't really trying as hard. And they were able to reestablish a lead pretty quickly there at the final. In the final couple of minutes, Grayson Allen knocked down a three-pointer with a minute and a half to go. And then Pat Connaughton hit some free throws. And so just like that, the Bucks were able to reestablish a double-digit lead and secure the victory. And overall, they shot the ball very efficiently. 51% from the field, 45% from three. Whereas the Wiz were just 46% from the field overall and 28% from three. Now, the Bucks did turn the ball over 16 times, whereas the Wiz just had 11, so that was one of the reasons they were able to get back into the game late, but ultimately it wasn't nearly enough to overcome that huge shooting disparity. So with this win, the Bucks now improved to 46-27, so they are breathing down the Heat's neck in first. The Bucks are in second in the East, just one game behind Miami at this point, and then they're half a game up on the 76ers and Celtics in third and fourth. So despite the fact that we are quickly approaching the end of the season, there is still moves to be made in the conference standings. Any of these three teams could end up stealing that first seed from the Heat, the Bucks, 76ers, and Celtics, and they're all on winning streaks right now. The Bucks and 76ers are on 2-game winning streaks, the Celtics are on a 5-game winning streak, whereas the Heat are on a 2-game losing streak. So just like that, any of these teams could vault themselves up into the first seed. However, the ironic thing is that if you do get the first seed in the East this season, you might end up having to face the Brooklyn Nets in the first game. I don't know if they're going to beat their Toronto Raptors and steal away the seventh seed, but nonetheless, even if you had to play the Raptors, it's still going to be a tough opponent in your first round matchup. And the Brooklyn Nets, especially now that they've got Kyrie Irving available to play in all of their home games as well, the only place he can't play now is Toronto. So it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds, but definitely moves to be made still throughout the rest of the season. Just to finish off the fundamentals for the Bucks, they have a plus 4.1 point differential, which is third best in the conference. And like I said, they're on a 2-game winning streak. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. That's the second best streak over the past 10 of any team in the Eastern Conference other than the Boston Celtics. And as for the Washington Wizards, this loss takes them to 30-42. So they're down in 12th in the East. They are half a game behind the Knicks in 11th, and then they're 6 games up on the Indiana Pacers in 13th. So technically, they're not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet, but they are a good 5.5 games behind the Atlanta Hawks in 10th, so it's almost certainly not going to happen. They are negative 3.4 in the point differential. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Wizards were led, as I mentioned, by Ish Smith off the bench. In 28 minutes, the backup guard had 17 points on 8 of 14 shooting, and he had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. So really solid contributions for the veteran guard there, Smith. And then in the starting lineup, they got 16 points from Kristaps Porzingis and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So Porzingis, he had 16 points on 6 of 12 shooting. He had 2 3-pointers, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And then 16 as well for KCP. He was only 5 of 16 from the field, but he did have 3 3-pointers, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. And then they also got 10 points from Rui Hachimura. In 24 minutes, he was 5 of 11 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds. 5 points for Corey Kispert, the rookie. He was 2 of 7 from the field in 30 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. And 9 points for Hal Neto, rounding out the starting lineup. In 20 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field, and he had 6 assists. And as for the bench, besides Ish Smith, they also got 12 points from Denny Avdia. In 32 minutes, the Israeli, he was 5 of 13 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 2 assists, 4 rebounds. 9 points for Anthony Gill. In 14 minutes, he was perfect, 4 of 4 from the field, and he was actually the team high, plus 21 in the plus minus. And then they also got 6 points from Daniel Gafford, the backup big man. He was actually also perfect, 3 of 3 from the field in 16 minutes. And Tomas Satoransky rounding out the bench, he just had 2 points in 13 minutes. He was 1 of 5 from the field. And as for the Bucks, with no Giannis Antetokounmpo and no Chris Middleton, they were led by Drew Holiday. He had 24 points in 33 minutes. He was very efficient, 10 of 18 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he also had 3 rebounds, 10 assists, and 1 steal. Now, he did have 6 turnovers, but he was plus 15 in the plus-minus, which was tied for the team high, so all things considered, really good stuff for Drew Holiday leading the way for the Bucks. Then they also got 21 points from Grayson Allen. He was on fire in this game, 7 of 10 from the field, including 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. And he also had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. 13 points for Brook Lopez. Back in the starting lineup, in 28 minutes, he was 5 of 11 from the field, and he had 2 rebounds, 2 assists. 11 points and 12 rebounds for Bobby Portis, starting alongside Brook Lopez, starting nominally in place of Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was also 5 of 11 from the field, and he had 1 assist. And then Wesley Matthews, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. He was 0 for 1 in 28 minutes, and he just had 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 1 steal. And off the bench for the Bucks, they got 16 points from Pat Connaughton. In 23 minutes only, he was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 3 threes and 5 rebounds. 11 points for Serge Ibaka, the backup big man. He was 4 of 5 from the field in 17 minutes. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Ibaka is definitely not the player he once was. His age is definitely showing, but he still has the propensity to put up a really solid game every once in a while. I don't think he could be like a reliable starting big man on a playoff team at this point, but if he's just coming in off the bench for spot minutes, playing like 17 minutes per game, I mean, that is no problem at all for him at this point in his career. And so I think that was a good pickup by the Bucks. And then they also got 10 points from George Hill in 23 minutes. He was also quite efficient, 4 of 6 from the field. And then 8 points for Javon Carter, the backup point guard. He had 4 assists. And then Jordan Nwora rounding out the bench. He didn't score at all. He was 0 for 6 in 18 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to New Orleans, where the Pelicans defeated the Chicago Bulls, 126-109. The Bulls did not have DeMar DeRozan in this game, and so they were led by Zach LaVine. He had 39 points on 12 of 23 shooting, and then they also got 16 points from Nikola Vucevic and 23 points off the bench from Kobe White. He had 5 3-pointers, but unfortunately, that scoring was not nearly enough to contend with the New Orleans Pelicans, who were led by Devontae Graham. He had 30 points in the starting lineup. He was 8 of 12 from the field, including 5 threes, and then they also got 25 from CJ McCollum, 16 and 19 from Jonas Valanciunas, and 15 points off the bench from the rookie Jose Alvarado. And this one was actually pretty close throughout the majority of regulation. It was back and forth. It was actually a one-point game heading into the fourth quarter. It was 86-85. So the Bulls were definitely in it throughout the majority of regulation. But then with about 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, their offense totally stagnated. With 9:59 left on the clock, it was tied 90-90. And then a couple of minutes later, with 7.5 minutes to go, it was a 12-point game. It was 102-90. Jose Alvarado capped off that streak with a three-pointer. And so just like that, the Bulls were trailing by double digits. And then the Pelicans were able to hold on to that lead throughout the rest of the game. In fact, they actually expanded upon it even further. Devontae Graham hit another three-pointer, and then Jonas Valanciunas hit a two. So in the end, it was kind of a dominant victory for the Pelicans. The Bulls just falling apart in the fourth quarter. They were ultimately outscored in the fourth, 40-24. Really just disappointing capitulation. They really could have used DeMar DeRozan's clutch scoring down the stretch. And overall, the Bulls actually didn't shoot the ball badly at all. They were 51% from the field, 41% from three. That's actually just as good, if not better, than the Pelicans, who were 49% from the field and also 41% from three. But the turnovers really killed the Bulls. They had 15 versus just 11 for the Pelicans. And then they were also dominated on the boards, 43-33. So the shooting, not really the problem for the Bulls. Their other stuff, though, the ball handling and the interior presence, was a problem. Jonas Valanciunas really got the better of Nikola Vucevic, who had 9 rebounds. Valanciunas had 19. And so with this win, the Pelicans now improved to 31-42. So they have moved past the Lakers. They are now in 9th in the Western Conference. They're actually exactly tied, but the Pelicans have the edge via the tiebreaker. And then they are 2 games up on the Spurs in 11th, and they are 4.5 games behind the LA Clippers in 8th. So it's possible that the Spurs could potentially steal that 10th seed away from the Lakers down the stretch here, but more than likely it'll probably end up being the Pelicans and Lakers in some order in 9th and 10th. And the Pels are -1.0 in the point differential. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Bulls, this disappointing loss takes them to 42-31. So they are just 3-7 in their last 10 games. They're currently in 5th in the Eastern Conference, but they're just 1 game up on the Cavaliers in 6th. And as we discussed, that means they're also 1 game up on the Raptors in 7th. So the Bulls at risk of falling out of the top 6 entirely into the play-in game range. That would be really disappointing for them, considering that they were atop the Eastern Conference about midway through the season. They are now 3.5 games behind the Boston Celtics in 4th. And their plus 0.4 point differential is worse than several teams below them. It's actually only like 8th best in the conference. And they're, like I said, they're 3-7 in their last 10. They're on a 2-game losing streak. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Bulls were led by Zach LaVine, and offensively he was incredible. 39 points in 40 minutes. He was 12 of 23 from the field, 4 three-pointers. He was 11 of 13 from the free throw line, and he had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Now, he did have 5 turnovers. He was -1 in the plus-minus. That was actually the best of any of the starters. They were all negative, but LaVine was at least close to being neutral. The worst in that regard was Ayo Dosunmu, the rookie. He was -31 in the plus-minus. In his 32 minutes, he just had 4 points on 2 of 8 shooting. He did have 4 rebounds and 5 assists, but still, pretty disappointing output from Dosunmu. And then they also got 16 points from Nikola Vucevic. Like LaVine, he was actually pretty solid offensively. It's just the defense that's the problem for this team. I would not be surprised at all if Billy Donovan quickly reinserts Patrick Williams back into the starting lineup to infuse a little bit of defense with this group. But anyways, Vucevic did have 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then they also got 11 points from Alex Caruso. He was 3 of 7 from the field in 28 minutes, and 5 points for Javonte Green in 25 minutes. He was just 2 of 3 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. And off the bench for the Bulls, they got 23 points from Kobe White. He was quite efficient, 9 of 15 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. And he had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. Again, the offense, not really the problem for the Bulls in this one. It was mainly the defense, allowing the Pelicans 126, which was really inexcusable. But they didn't get a whole lot else from their bench. 4 points from Tristan Thompson in 15 minutes, 3 points from Troy Brown Jr., 2 for Derek Jones Jr., and 2 as well from Patrick Williams. But as for the Pelicans, they were led by the backcourt in the starting lineup, Devontae Graham and CJ McCollum. They combined for 55 points. Graham had 30 in 29 minutes. He was very efficient, 8 of 12 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3, and 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Incredible offense for Graham. He's had a disappointing season, obviously, since coming over from the Hornets, but this was definitely a step in the right direction. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. He was plus 28 in the plus-minus. And then 25 points for CJ McCollum. He was a little bit less efficient, but he was still 10 of 20 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. And then they also got a big double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 16 points, 19 rebounds. He was 5 of 12 from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, though. He had 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 5 turnovers. 7 points for Herb Jones, the rookie. He was 2 of 5 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And 6 points for Jackson Hayes, the other big man in the front court for the Pelicans in the starting lineup. He was 2 of 4 from the field. He had 5 rebounds. And then off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 15 points from the rookie, Jose Alvarado. He was really solid in this game. 5 of 10 from the field, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 7 assists, 1 rebound, 3 steals. And then they also got 9 points from Larry Nance Jr., making his debut for the Pelicans. He had not played since being acquired from Portland. It's his first game since January 5th. And so really interested to see how he fits in with this team, because he was inexplicably not playing a ton for the Trailblazers, even though he's a very talented player. And it was a nice get for the Pelicans to get not only CJ McCollum, but also Larry Nance Jr. They did give up Josh Hart, but nonetheless, I mean, Nance is a very valuable backup big man for a good team. He's a fantastic defender, and he had 9 points and 4 rebounds in 18 minutes in this debut for the Pels. So I'll be really interested to see how they look perhaps next season once they get Zion Williamson back, because they definitely have a lot of depth at this point with Nance, Devontae Graham, Jackson Hayes, Herb Jones, a lot of these guys that have come out of nowhere for the Pelicans. And then they've got some young guys and Trey Murphy and Jose Alvarado too. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they look at full strength perhaps next season. And then elsewhere off the bench for the Pelicans in this game, they also got 5 points from Najee Marshall, 6 points from Willie Hernan Gomez. And then the aforementioned rookie, Trey Murphy III, he had 7 points on 3 of 5 shooting in 14 minutes. All right, and finally we can move on to Denver, where the Nuggets were just edged by the Phoenix Suns, 140-130. The Suns were led by Devin Booker. He dropped 49 points on the anniversary of his 70-point game. He was 16 of 25 from the field, 15 of 17 from the free throw line, and he also had 10 assists. Incredible stuff for Booker. And then they got Chris Paul back finally from his hand injury. He had 17 and 13 in 30 minutes, looking spry, so that is really good for the Suns. And then they also got 22 from Mikal Bridges and 16 from DeAndre Ayton. So things are just, once again, firing on all cylinders for the Suns. And that was evident by the scoreline, scoring 140 points. Whereas the Nuggets were led by Nikola Jokic. He had 28 points and 6 rebounds. And then they also got 21 from Aaron Gordon and 23 points off the bench from Bones Highland, the rookie. He has been on fire lately, and he has developed into a really effective and valuable scorer for this team off the bench. And if they were potentially to make some noise in the playoffs, I think he could definitely be a contributor to that. He has really developed from like a fun, exciting rookie with a lot of potential to an effective scorer on a really talented team. So yet another steal in the draft for the Nuggets. But unfortunately, his 4 three-pointers were not enough to overcome the Suns in this game. But the Nuggets were definitely in it. The scoreline doesn't quite indicate how close this game was. It was just back and forth throughout the entirety of regulation. In fact, the Nuggets were actually leading by 9 points at one point in the third quarter with 3 minutes to go. It was 101-92 after some free throws from Nikola Jokic. So the Nuggets were definitely in contention for this game. It was just a 2-point game heading into the fourth quarter, and then it was back and forth at the beginning of the fourth. But eventually, the Suns were able to just pull away a little bit. Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges hit back-to-back buckets. Bridges was a 3-pointer with 4:31 left on the clock, extending the lead to 8 for the Suns. And then they were able to maintain about an 8-to-10-point lead throughout the rest of the game. The Nuggets did their best to keep pace with the Suns down the stretch, but they just could not make any headway after they built up that small lead. And so just like that, the Suns were able to steal another game in Denver. This juggernaut of a team continues to steamroll the entire NBA. And both teams were actually incredibly efficient, as you might expect by the scoreline. So the Nuggets were 59% from the field and 46% from 3. Whereas the Suns, they were remarkably even better. They were 60% from the field. That is absurd. And then they were 48% from 3. And the Suns were actually very tidy with the ball as well. They only had 9 turnovers, whereas the Nuggets had 17. That was pretty much the death knell for them in this game, because they actually out-rebounded the Suns 37-29, but those turnovers just really killed them, especially down the stretch in the fourth quarter. So if it wasn't for that, they definitely were in this game, and they were up until about a couple of minutes to go in the fourth, but a disappointing loss in the end for the Nuggets. And so with this loss, they now fall to 43-31, and it is really close now for the Nuggets. They could potentially fall out of the top six. Like the Cavaliers and Bulls in the Eastern Conference, they are being chased by the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are in seventh in the West. They're just one game behind the Nuggets now. And then they are, 2.5 games behind the Dallas Mavericks in fifth. So the Nuggets almost certainly will not improve their spot any further from the sixth seed, but they are desperately trying to stay out of the play-in game. They are plus 2.4 in the point differential, which is in fact worse than the Timberwolves. It is seventh best in the West, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Phoenix Suns, this win takes them to 60-14. Incredible stuff. They are 9 games up on the Memphis Grizzlies in second. They've got a plus 8.4 point differential, which is best in the NBA. They're on a 7-game winning streak, which is also best in the NBA. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games, which is tied for the Celtics, best in the NBA. So just insane what this Phoenix Suns team has been able to do this season. Ever since their run to the finals last year, I've been on the fence about whether or not they'd be able to replicate that and whether or not this season was just, you know, good regular season, but will they be able to do it in the playoffs again? But at this point, I mean, you just cannot deny what they have done this regular season. And at a certain point, the regular season has to start translating to the playoffs because they've just been so dominant, so good. And now that they've got Chris Paul back and looking just as good as he did prior to this injury, it is really hard to see how any team could be favored over the Phoenix Suns, even in the playoffs, even with a full-strength Golden State Warriors or a full-strength Milwaukee Bucks. I just cannot see anybody beating the Phoenix Suns right now. So they are definitely looking good with the playoffs approaching. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score, and the Suns were led, as I mentioned, by Devin Booker. He had 49 points in 39 minutes. He was 16 of 25 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, and 15 of 17 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. He was plus 16 in the plus minus. That was a team high. He has really developed into an incredible player. I mean, he's always been a talented scorer that has never been in question, but just the fact that he's been able to turn himself into a dominant winning player, a leader on the best team in the NBA is a testament to him. It's a testament to Monty Williams and Chris Paul helping him become that. So really just incredible stuff for Booker. And then they also got a double-double from Chris Paul making his return. He had 17 points and 13 assists in 30 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. And then they got 22 points from Mikal Bridges. He was insanely efficient, 8 of 9 from the field. He had 3 threes and 2 assists. 16 for DeAndre Ayton. He was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 1 steal. And 12 points for Jay Crowder, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. And he had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. And then off the bench for the Suns, they got 9 points from Cameron Payne, the backup point guard. He was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 5 assists. He was plus 15 in the plus minus, which was the bench high. And then they also got 8 points from Torrey Craig. In 19 minutes, he was 3 of 7 from the field. 3 points for JaVale McGee, the backup big man. 2 points for Bismack Biyombo, and 2 points as well for Landry Shamet. Whereas the Nuggets were, of course, led by the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic. He was incredible in this game. 28 points on 9 of 10 shooting. Just like absurd. He was 9 of 11 from the free throw line. He had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Now he did have 8 turnovers. That's a bit disappointing, but nonetheless, when you shoot better from the field than you do from the free throw line, that is just insane stuff for Nikola Jokic. And then they also got 21 points from Aaron Gordon. He was also very efficient, 10 of 16 from the field, 6 rebounds, 17 points for Will Barton. He was 7 of 10 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 15 points for Monty Morris. He was 4 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he had 4 assists, and 11 points for Jeff Green. He was 4 of 6 from the field, and in 23 minutes, he had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. So the offense just off the charts in this game specifically, but in the NBA broadly speaking right now. And then off the bench for the Nuggets, they got 23 points from Bones Highland. He was 7 of 13 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. He had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. 10 points for DeMarcus Cousins, the backup big man. He's been really solid for the Nuggets coming in off the bench behind Nikola Jokic. He had 6 rebounds and 3 assists in this game. And then they got 4 points from Devon Reed and 1 point for Jamichael Green. He was 0 of 3 from the field. Austin Rivers saw the court for 19 minutes and he was 0 of 1. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of incredible options to pick from last night in the NBA. The offense, like I said, just off the charts for some of these guys. Ultimately, for standout line of the night, we're going to go with Devin Booker, obviously, because he had the huge 49-point outburst. But just to run through some of the other options, you had Chris Paul making his return and dropping a very efficient 17 and 13. Then you had 30 points from Desmond Bane. He was incredibly efficient as well, 12 of 15. Nikola Jokic was even more efficient than that, 9 of 10 from the field for 28 points. Then you had Pascal Siakam dropping 35. Devontae Graham had 30. Nikola Vucevic had 16 and 9. 16 and 19 for Jonas Valanciunas. And then 39 points for Zach LaVine, 24 and 10 for Drew Holiday. So just incredible lines in the NBA last night. But ultimately, it had to be Devin Booker. Just incredible stuff. 49 points in 39 minutes. He was 16 of 25 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, and 15 of 17 from the free throw line. You'll love to see that efficiency from the line and the volume as well. And then he also had 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, and only 2 turnovers. You really couldn't ask for much more than that from Devin Booker, especially those free throws. You could win a category with that type of line, 15 of 17. And then the 10 assists and the 3 steals is just the cherry on top of an incredible scoring performance. So Devin Booker, absolutely your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, we're going to go with Steven Adams with the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, it's not that surprising considering that he can put up 6 points and a bunch of rebounds on any given night, but he just stuffed the stat sheet. So in addition to 6 points on 3 of 7 shooting, he had 17 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks, and 0 turnovers. Now, he didn't have any 3-pointers, obviously, but nonetheless, just really stuffing the stat sheet. Adams, on the season, he's only averaging 7 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and about half a steal and half a block. So his season averages aren't terrible, but this game was obviously an anomaly, to say the least, stuffing the stat sheet like he did with the 6 combined steals and blocks. That's just incredible stuff. So Steven Adams is your surprising line of the night, and Devin Booker is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Friday, March the 25th, and we've got, let's see here, 7 games on in the NBA tonight, starting off in Charlotte. The Hornets are taking on the Utah Jazz, and the Jazz are -3.5. In Detroit, the Pistons face the Washington Wizards, and the Pistons are -4.5. In Atlanta, the Hawks are taking on the Golden State Warriors, and the Hawks are -2.5. In Minnesota, the Timberwolves face the Dallas Mavericks, and the Wolves are -2.5. In Miami, the Heat are taking on the New York Knicks, and the Heat are -7. In Portland, the Trailblazers face the Houston Rockets, and the Rockets are actually favored. They're -3. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Clippers face the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Sixers are favored. They're -5.5. All right, so a couple of interesting games here tonight. I am very intrigued to see the Mavericks taking on the Timberwolves in Minnesota. That game has definite implications for the playoff picture, as the Timberwolves are just a game behind the Nuggets now in 6th, and the Mavericks are a couple of games up on the Nuggets in 5th. And so the Mavericks looking to move up past the Utah Jazz, the Timberwolves looking to move past the Nuggets into 6th out of the play-in game. So really interesting to see how that all unfolds. And I'm also very interested by the Golden State Warriors +2.5 in Atlanta. I was very surprised to see the Hawks favored against the Warriors. Now, obviously, they're without Steph Curry, and they've looked much worse without him. But they did win their last game, I should say. They looked much better. And so, I don't know. I feel like that line is a bit weird to me. I think it's going to be a stay away for me just because the Warriors have been so shaky without Steph. But still, I was surprised to see them +2.5 in Atlanta. And then I was also very interested in the Utah Jazz -3.5 in Charlotte. That line just feels a little bit too low to me. I think that is going to be one of our best bets today. We've got 2. The Jazz just, I don't know, they're not exactly that encouraging. They're on a 2-game losing streak right now. Seems like ever since the Joe Ingles injury, they've just been not quite as vivacious as they once were over the past couple of seasons. And it seems like this is headed towards a disappointing result in the playoffs, almost certainly. But nonetheless, with all that being said, they're still a more talented team at this point than the Charlotte Hornets. They do have quite a bit of incentive to win this game because they are trying to get into the top half of the play-in game and potentially only have to win one of their 2 games to make the playoffs. But still, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to. They had a disappointing loss in their last game, and I just have a little bit more faith, despite all of what I was saying about the Jazz bad vibes. I just have more faith in their talent at this point than the Hornets. So we're going to take the Utah Jazz -3.5 in Charlotte. And then I said we have two best bets. I think I'm just going to leave it at that. I was going to maybe take the Detroit Pistons -4.5 at home versus the Wizards, just because the Wizards have been abysmal recently. They're 2-8 in their last 10, whereas the Pistons are actually 4-6 in their last 10. So I have a bit more faith in the Pistons at the moment, but I think I'm ultimately going to stay away from that one, actually, because it is the Pistons after all, and they really have an incentive to lose at this point to increase their draft odds as much as possible. So I think I'm going to stay away from that one and just go with the one best bet with the Jazz -3.5 in Charlotte. All right, and so that will do it for us today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all of those games and preview the action for Saturday, March 26th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.